Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Today, we have a very special guest, Curtis Bowers. Stay tuned. Well, it is good to be back with you. And, of course, this week we have had the special privilege of having a guest here at Liberty Church Edmond. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to let him talk a little bit about himself. But as I shared with our congregation earlier, when I have a question about the Christian perspective on what's going on politically around the world, especially when it comes to the subject of communism, there are three people that I will call and desire their opinion. One is Chris Ann Hall and her husband. The other is Trevor Loudon, and the third is the man that's sitting across from me, Curtis Bowers. Curtis, it is good to have you in our church, and what are you doing right now? You're traveling across Oklahoma and Texas, or this part of the country? What's going
on? Yes, right now, Oklahoma and Texas, just for a few weeks, we just set up a tour to kind of go out and reach people, influence them, and wake them up to what's going on, and encourage them to be doing something to make a difference.
Now, you used to be in the great state of Idaho, which, by the way, we had a pastor's event in Coeur d'Alene last year, and I went back for another event not too long ago. That is beautiful. That is a treasure up there. But now you're in the state of Florida, is that correct?
Or Alabama.
Alabama. Yep. So your HQ is in the Southeastern Conference.
That's right.
Very good. Well, for those that don't know, and a lot of our audience probably will, but quite frankly, we've got a lot of disciples as we reach pastors and get them to start thinking biblically about every area of life. We ask pastors this question on opening night of our boot camps. We ask them, what subjects of your life, what areas of your life is Jesus not the Lord over? And we let that settle for a minute. Of course, we know that Jesus is supposed to be the Lord of all of our lives.
That's right.
And then we remind them, those are the only subjects you're not supposed to talk about in church, are the areas of life that Jesus isn't Lord. But again, he's supposed to be Lord over all of our lives, so there's nothing off limits. But for those that haven't had a chance to meet you or know about you, tell us a little bit about just the 3-minute version of your background and your awakening, your adventure into politics, and then, of course, the documentaries.
Sure. Well, I was raised in a good Christian family, which is a vital foundation to have. And as I grew up, started doing different things, business things, and then God, at 32 years old, really got a hold of me where I felt, you know what, I've been my whole life doing what I want to do, asking him to bless it instead of saying, no, is there something you want me to do? And I say, God, I'm sorry for doing that. I'll do whatever you ask if you just direct my path. And amazingly, a couple years went by, nothing happened, but he started getting hold of my heart, turning my heart toward my family and my children. And I realized how important that was as a man to be a faithful follower, a faithful husband, a faithful example to my children and teacher and mentor and everything. So,
Which is what you're supposed to do, according
exactly,
to the Bible.
Exactly.
Train up your children in the way they should go.
That's right. And that's not happening as much as it should.
Right.
Because I think a lot of pastors are not really having that be their focus, to get a hold of the dads in the church. You get the dad, you get the whole family. Sure. You get the mom or you get the kids, it doesn't go well a lot of the time, as we've seen in different statistics. But so God, all of a sudden, I felt like I should be involved politically, just to be more involved in our local Republican Party, to make sure they're standing up for good things. Went to those meetings, and through a turn of events that God obviously orchestrated, 11 months later, from attending just my first meeting, the governor calls me and appoints me to be a representative, which was not my goal at all. I had no ambition in politics, but he just clearly opened those doors. And I told him when I was 32, I'll do anything you ask. You just make it clear so I don't confuse myself. And so I'm thrown into that. And as I'm doing that, I wrote a letter to the editor about the communist meeting I had attended back in 1992 as a favor for an older gentleman who had studied communism his whole life. He said, you know, why are they having a meeting? We beat communism. It's over. It's dead. And so I went to this meeting at the University of California, Berkeley, and we're for 3 days.
California, Berkeley, huh?
Well, yeah, of course. That's where the Communist USA is going to have a meeting. And so I went there and for 3 days, they outlined their plan to take down America from within to really focus on that more. They'd already been doing it for decades, but they said now because the Soviet Union has collapsed and we economically because we couldn't keep up with the productivity of America. And it was funny hearing them say that. Mm-hmm. They said we just can't outspend them weapons-wise because they have so much money. We're going to now go all plan B of subversion from within. The families they wanted to take down because they said it's a man-made institution. Mm-hmm. It's only there to enslave women and to pass on wealth to the future generations so you can be greedy capitalists. And it was like, what are they talking about? They had never heard of the Garden of Eden or anything. And so they said, we're going to keep pushing easy divorce laws, encouraging promiscuity, and then we want to get the women more and more out of the homes. They'd said, we've been very successful with the feminist movement, but we want to even push that more. And then one of the things they talked about is to destroy our free enterprise system. They said, we're going to really get behind the environmental movement. And again, mm-hmm. this is 1992, and they say, we think that's the only thing that can create enough regulation and red tape to just make it impossible to do business in America. And the last thing, and this is pretty sobering as a Christian, understand how our enemies understood when you defy biblical principles, it mm-hmm. destroys you. They mm-hmm. get that, even though mm-hmm. most Americans don't. They said, we need to unravel the final remains of the moral fabric of America. And we think the only thing that will do this, and that's 1992, is if we can get Americans to accept homosexuality. And it was, you know, I heard back then, I'm like, that's funny. And that never, back then yeah. was still not accepted. Yeah. Like, that's still a joke, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so from that, I wrote a letter on that. It exploded in the news, and I started to realize things are going on that I didn't know about. And this Marxist agenda wasn't something new at that point. It had been around for generations. And that's when I felt then God calling me to make a movie to kind of expose the 45 current communist goals mm-hmm. from the 50s and things like that that I had come across, expose those to the American people so they understood the changes that have taken place in America have been purposeful.
It's all been part of a plan.
It's all part mm-hmm. of a plan. It was not an accident or just the way things go. And so that's what I ended up doing, and God has really blessed that movie in so many different ways.
Of course, Agenda 1 and 2 are well-known documentaries, and I thank you for those because they are both still a valuable part of my library. But before we go on to talk about this in a little more depth, please take this time to tell our pastors and our listeners how can they keep up with you. I mean, what do you do weekly? I know, you, of course, the Agenda Weekly and everything. Tell them how they can access your materials.
Yes, we have a subscription-based format at agendaweekly.com. It's $5 a month, but we'll send you a summary of the news items of that week, all the key ones with the good news and the bad news. We have prayer and action items, a hymn of the week, a memory verse of the week, and different other educational materials there to help you be informed of what's going on the easiest way possible. Pastors are busy people. Americans are busy people. And we realized most people on our side spend all week staring at the TV, wasting 30 hours watching the news, and they still don't know what's going on. So our ministry is to provide a summary of all that for you every Friday night in an email that you can look at your leisure, but so that then you can understand the times, but then have time to act, have time to do things instead of just wonder what's going on. If you don't want to subscribe, if you go to any podcast platform, it's called Faith, Family, and Freedom with Curtis Bowers, and you can for free listen to my 30-40 minute mm-hmm. presentation each week on what is going on in our country.
Well, those take a lot of study to do. Obviously, yes. We do periodic 15-20 minute podcasts to be able to go in depth and teach an audience material over 45, 50 minutes. It's like preparing a sermon every week.
It takes me all week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, let me also commend you because, you know, they say that at one time they controlled what information the public received. And they were able to make sure that we followed their direction because everything that went on CBS, NBC, and ABC
That's
was
right.
filtered.
Yep.
Now there is so much information out there, and a lot of it's true, and a lot of it isn't.
That's right.
But we're flooded by so much information, there's confusion. So what you're doing by providing the weekly news service is of great value, and thank you for going to the
welcome.
Trouble of doing that. Now, you talked tonight, of course, we've talked about communism. We may get into that a little bit more later on, but you talked specifically tonight about fifth-generation warfare. What in the world is fifth-generation warfare?
fifth generation warfare is really the battle for your heart and mind. It's a warfare of disinformation campaigns, even ads on TV that are pushing an ideology, pushing an agenda item. But you're like, oh, it's just an ad during the football game. And they are so strategic at using this, where we're subliminally getting messages all day long, every day, billboards, radio, TV. And if you use social media, they have the bots on there parroting all the party lines of things, where we're just overwhelmed with information, which is a strategy because it makes you give up on really figuring out what's going on. You finally go, I'll never know what's going on. And so that they love that when that happens. But also you're being slowly brainwashed over time. All of us have been. Our country has changed so dramatically just since the 70s. And we all see it's, oh, yeah, there's been change. We don't realize how much. We really don't. And I think that is that slow, gradual process that they've used to completely transform our country, mm-hmm. just through gradualism a little bit each day. But after years and decades, all of a sudden we're waking up in an America. We go, what? Where are we? Mm-hmm. This is nothing like it was even 50 years ago in the 70s, but it's even so far removed from what it was intended to be by our founders. And so, but fifth generation warfare is, they have really accelerated that. They realize that those invisible weapons of propaganda are far more powerful than physical tanks and bombs and machine guns, because once you twist their mind, then they're on your side. Yeah. So you are in control of them. They do listen to you when you say, put on two masks. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir, I will. And take your shot. Okay, and get a booster every 2 months. Okay, I will. And so they realize that's the ticket. Because the communists, above all things, as I've studied the last 100 years of how they took over countries, they are so totalitarian. One, because mm-hmm. they love it, but two, because they know the people have to be in fear or they're in trouble, because they know if the people ever did rise up against them, they could not stop them. And so that's why this idea of propagandizing and indoctrinating the people is a key part of this. So they realize we're going to disarm all of them because we're going to have mm-hmm. taught them what they believe is true.
Well, before you can enslave a person physically, you have to first enslave them mentally.
That's right.
And that's what's going on right now. It's a big psyop. I thought it was remarkable when you referenced the fact that Edmund Bernays, who is a marketing genius, maybe the father of yeah. modern-day marketing,
yes.
is actually who the CIA used and went to school on how to develop a coup in a country. And right now we're seeing that in America.
Yeah, they studied his works of just he was a genius of marketing, but they realize what he's doing with products to get people to buy something mm-hmm. that's not good for them, but they think it is, or something that's harmful to them, but they think they need it to have a successful life, whatever. He was so good at that, they realize this is the path forward. This is so much easier approach than trying to muscle yeah. everybody into obedience.
Think about it. You talked about where we've come in 1992 to now with, for example, the homosexual movement. I can remember, I forget the name, but there was a nighttime soap opera that came out when I was maybe a teenager, and Billy Crystal played a role in it, and he was the first open homosexual ever on television. It was like, it was really cutting edge. Yeah. And then, of course, there was Will and Grace. You know, Will and Grace was the first time he had a homosexual as a star in the TV show. And now look at America. Just about, if you were to watch modern American television, you would conclude that about 50% of the population is homosexual.
That's right.
Well, that's this psyop, as they are trying to indoctrinate this. In fact, look at where we've just come in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, we had two genders. Now, how many do we have? Now, we all know that there's only two genders.
That's right.
But people are afraid to say anything against what they're telling us to believe, for fear of being rebuked or being degraded in some way. And I thought it was a remarkable point. You talked about the positive reaffirmation that we crave on social media. Talk about how we are self-censoring through wanting to be liked on Facebook and Twitter.
That's right. Well, they were smart enough to realize to keep this manipulation going at a personal level, because you feel like on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, oh, these are just friends I'm talking to. But of course, as we found out from Elon Musk buying it, oh, no, millions of these subscribers are bots. And they're obviously all tainted from a leftist position, as was obvious too with all the documents that came out. And so they know you want to be liked, and that's normal, and you want people to appreciate you and like your picture. So they knew if we can create this atmosphere where anything that is said that agrees with the party line gets lots of hearts and thumbs up, it's going to encourage that behavior, just like anything in life. And if we don't want people talking about the Make America Great Again platform or whatever, or Christianity or whatever is the only way to God and things like that, then we're going to penalize them by having them be attacked by what they think is their peers saying, why would you say something so hateful, you know, when they, you know, say something against homosexuality or whatever. And it was so effective. It over the last 10 years, it silenced a whole generation of people because mm-hmm. they didn't want to be publicly persecuted and admonished by what they thought appeared to be their friends or whatever in this fictitious world. I think half of them are bots. I think the whole thing is a scheme to influence and to gather information on each one of us. We know that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them have said they give all of their data to Department of Justice, to the NSA, the National Security Administration. It's all open door. They can get anyone's every picture you've posted, everything you've ever done. And so it's the ultimate information gathering operation where they know everything about you. And so if they ever need to do something against you, they will be able to do that.
You talked tonight about Karl Marx, and of course, known as the father of modern day communism. You mentioned a little bit ago, you talked about some of the institutions that are under attack. And isn't it interesting that the institutions that God established on planet Earth, he has instituted the family, the church, and this institution called civil government. But Marx said that they were all tools of the bourgeois, tried to destroy those three. You mentioned that Marx was not just an atheist. Marx was actually a Satanist. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Yes, and there's a great book called Marx and Satan by Richard Wurmbrand. He had been the Christian missionary tortured and stuff for 14 years in a Romanian communist prison. And so when he got out, he wanted to know what is behind this. How could something be so evil? And he started studying communism and went back to the founder of modern day communism and started studying his life. And you see the poems he wrote to Satan and stuff where you realize, oh no, this guy, he called himself, Karl Marx called himself the Great Destroyer. Well, that's what Satan is. And he said, I'm going to walk through the rubble of the earth, you know, where I've destroyed everything. Well, Satan's the destroyer. So Karl Marx was mimicking that. And so he came up with a system I think Satan gave him because he was very eloquent at communicating that system as if it was going to bring about good and fairness and what's, you know. And so people read that book like a young Vladimir Lenin and was inspired to go, I'm committing my life to that. I'm going to do that. And the whole world changed because of that influence. But yeah, he was a wicked, evil, satanic people. A lot of people, because the normal party line is communist or atheist. And I found that is not true at all because they're always attacking God. So you can't attack something you do not believe exists. Karl Marx said, my goal in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. So it appeals to atheists because they don't believe there's a God either. Like the Bible tells us, they've said in their heart there is no God. They know there's a God. They hate that there's a God. And so communism was the perfect system to dethrone God, where man then is put in the position of God. Man decides who lives and who dies in this system because you have absolute power like God does. It's a lust to be like God, which, of course, is straight from Satan. And that's why, like you said, the family, the church, and the civil government, Satan knew how God intended everything to be, and he's not stopping until every single thing has been turned on its head.
Yeah.
That's why they don't miss a trick with, like, pornography. When I first read the communists were wanting to push pornography in America in the 50s, my mind went, how is that possible? They knew what we say. Now, that'll wreck our culture. That'll collapse things. They knew that because their commander-in-chief did. And so he knew, no, get this going in there. This poison will start destroying the marriages, the morality, and it will start collapsing on itself. And it was true.
Based on your experience, you referenced tonight as a state legislator in Idaho. I don't consider states being small scale. Actually, I'm a strong states guy. I wish we could flip that back around how they actually intended it to be.
Yes.
But based upon your experiences dealing with your own supermajority Republican Party in Idaho, tell me, in your opinion, why is it that we can't get anything done positively through our Congress in D.C.?
Because I think it's been dirty for so long that the decent, honorable man that should be in there taking his turn as a duty for mm-hmm. 2 or 4 or 6 years, maybe the longest, to do that, he's not been attracted to that anymore. It's like, oh, I don't want to be in that mess. And so who the person it is attracted is the person that lusts to be looked up to, lust for a title, to mm-hmm. be respected, and to, you know, to
power.
It's power, that power. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to understand when I don't have that particular weakness. Mm-hmm. But when I saw it in the people sitting around me, I'm like, I mean, we would go to lunch outside the Capitol. And of course, I take my name tag off. You're going just to lunch. They go, no, don't take your name tags off. Then they'll respect us. I'm like, guys, this isn't like junior high or something. Put that thing away. It's embarrassing. Like you're sitting there with your name. We have it in the Capitol, so everyone knows who everybody is mm-hmm. you can be cordial and have manners and things. But to go to a restaurant and then you have to have it on. And I saw, man, it's like a kid thing that they just. So that's what's happened, though. It for 50 years has been attracting the worst person ever for that position because it's their weakness. And so even if it maybe is a half decent guy that believes half decently, he's going to be prone to compromise on those things because his affections are, man, I love being a senator, state senator or a state representative or whatever. He loves that so much it makes him love the compromising and rationalize it in his heart as if, well, it's not really wrong. I'm here for the really important votes, mm-hmm. but some of these I don't want the media to attack me because I need to be in here for when something's really important. That's what they'd always tell me. Mm-hmm. Well, Curtis, we need to be in here for when like the pro-life stuff comes up. I go, well, how come we never pass any pro-life stuff? You're always waiting for the perfect pro-life bill and it never happens, but that's why they're here, but they won't do anything else. So that I think is what has happened. The people representing us are not there to represent us. They're there for themselves.
I want to wrap up with this. If you think that what's going on in the world is by accident, it's impossible. You know, if Joe Biden was really calling the shots and he was really just senile, every now and then you'd think he'd make the right decision. But it's like 100% of the time he does the wrong thing.
That's right.
And that's because Satan's ultimately behind all this, behind the World Economic Forum, behind Klaus Schwab, and behind Karl Marx. And as you alluded to, he didn't allude to, he just said it straight out. If God says it's white, then Satan says it's black.
That's right.
Now, most of our pastors and most of our listeners, I mean, we've grown up in America. We've really had the luxury of being able to ignore these principles that have given us the liberty that we have enjoyed. If I was to tell one of these pastors, I'm going to ask you to do so, if they only had 60 minutes, or let's say 90 minutes, how could they learn much of what you have learned? What would be the most effective way for them to learn it? And then, for example, our prisoners or just the laymen in our audience, how can they become missionaries of this truth and be able to share it with others? Quite frankly, it's your strategy, but if you'd share that.
Yes, and the films are one great way. I mean, I took 2 years of my life just researching, and all the people I was researching had each spent 50 years of their life researching. I added up, it's over 2,000 years of research from all the people I interviewed in Agenda One, Grinding America Down. So in 90 minutes, it gives you the whole story from the 1800s to today. So it explains to you, which you have to know as a pastor, why the things that have happened have happened. You can't just know, oh yeah, a lot of things have changed. That's not good enough. I will give any pastor that wants a copy, I will send you a free copy if you contact Paul Blair and give him your church name, your name, address. I'd be happy to send you one if you'll watch it. You have to promise me you'll watch it. I will send you one for free. I think when you see it, it will open your eyes to a much bigger thing going on. You might want to show it in your church even. Yeah. So all the people, the sheep that God has given you to steward, won't be so naive about how corrupt things are and what has happened to our country. Well, they'll know a better way to fight back and to stand for the truth and realize what they're up against. Sun Tzu said 2,500 years ago, if you don't know yourself, and the enemy, you'll lose 100% of the time. But if you know yourself and you know the enemy and what they're doing, you will win every single engagement you partake in. And that we have not known that. We don't know ourselves or the enemy. That's why we've been losing every battle for 70 years. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Well, as you said, and we talked about, Satan is for exactly what God is opposed to. And he's opposed to exactly what God is for.
Right.
God is about life. Satan is about death.
That's right.
And everything about communism results in death.
That's right.
So if you are concerned about your family or your neighbor, if you truly are to love your neighbor as you love yourself, if you are a pastor and you're concerned with shepherding your congregation and protecting your flock, then this is important material, because this is, it's a spiritual battle, but we're seeing the bloodshed in our literal material 3D world with the abortion, with the LGBT, with communism. So I would encourage every one of you to go to the website and tell us, Curtis, the website again. And to take advantage of your offer, you can email us at info@ra4c.org. Is that correct, staff? Very good. info@ra4c.org, Reclaiming America for Christ. And if you email us, then you heard Curtis's generous offer, and we'll split the deal with you. We'll split that cost with you. But tell our folks how they can find your website and how they can get on your weekly podcast. Yes. And everything else.
AgendaWeekly.com is where you can subscribe. And again, I think it would be a time-saving tool, especially for pastors, because I know how busy you are. You have so many things to be doing and still managing your home and your family and your children. But it's just a simple way to be up to speed on everything without having to invest 20 hours of the week trying to listen to news podcasts and different things. But anyway, AgendaWeekly.com.
Curtis, thank you for being in our church. We pray for your safe travel with you and your family as you complete these tours. And we thank all of you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Until next week, God bless you.